Hello, what have we here?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 68. Hope you enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about K2SO. As always, I'm Donya, and I'm joined today by my co-hosts Caitlin.
Hello.
And also Ben.
Hello.
As always, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter, which is at Our Radio Podcast, leave a comment on our Facebook page, or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. Or you can leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hyperbull.com. And today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. And with over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, you can get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. We also have launched a Patreon, which you can check out at patreon.com/resistanceradio podcast. Some of the perks you can get from that is you can join in on our Discord chat with other Resistance Radio fans and also the hosts as we drop in and out. You can listen to us as we're recording these episodes in our recording studio. You can join us on our movie nights, where we do audio commentary for the films. Coming up soon will be the Attack of the Clones. So, what a... I know, right? Gets everywhere. Also, part of our Patreon is our After Dark episodes. We just released our first one. I believe, for the time being, that is also something that you can access for free to get an idea of what they are going to sound like. We discussed Star Wars 40th anniversary against the Harry Potter 20th anniversary, and some similarities and differences, and it was just a lot of fun. It got a little ridiculous, but I mean, as we always do, get a little bit ridiculous. But if you can't afford to support us via Patreon, you can always signal boost it just for other Star Wars fans if they might be interested. Or we also have merch for sale on our website, so you can get a really cool Resistance Radio t-shirt or button pack via our website store, so you can go around looking really awesome. But hi guys, I have returned. I've made my triumphant return from across the pond. Woohoo!
Can we take one moment to say to every listener that Donya nailed that entire intro in one try?
Woohoo!
It's almost like I'm a professional or something.
It's almost like you're a professional.
like you've done this before.
I know. Who'd have thought?
So that's at Mikey B.
Mikey's going to be editing this later going, "Why did I leave them unsupervised?"
Well, let's make him regret it. Let's go.
Yeah, I had a pretty great time while I was in Indianapolis. The 501st were there again, and I got to see Brent, who's been a co-host on here a couple of times, who was wearing his really, 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 really cool Scarif Trooper armor, and he basically had a lei, like loads of leis around him with a sign saying, "Where's the beach?" And he was going around the convention with that, and it was the single greatest thing. It was so cool. I do have a picture, which I'm probably going to drop in the Discord chat at some point, because it was just, it was hilarious. Absolutely loved it. And also, I ran into Evan a few times while I was there, which made me so happy. Evan, who has also, guys, as you know, co-hosted on here a few times and is part of the Johto cast. And it was just really great to see him. And there was lots of, like, really, really good Star Wars cosplay, and just everything was so much fun. So yeah, but I'm back now, and I guess we should probably get to the actual content and news.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. So first order of business, obviously D23 Expo.
first order of business. Sorry.
But I guess someone has to come up with the terrible jokes, right?
I didn't even come up with that. You just said it.
Yeah. D23 Expo happens this week and through this weekend, which is Disney's every other year convention where they basically talk about all things Disney parks, upcoming movies, and just all sorts of really great goodies. But Rian Johnson is going to be attending to talk about Star Wars, which is a little bit exciting because obviously the last time that we really got any good content was back during Star Wars Celebration, and then a little bit when they did that big Vanity Fair spread where we got a few of the first images and a couple of really cool interviews. So this will be the first time that we're getting an update directly from the writer-director of The Last Jedi. So that also means that we are not going to be getting much from San Diego Comic-Con like we expected, which is the following week. So, yeah. It's,
when again is D23?
Hmm?
When is D23 again?
This weekend. So
this weekend. Oh my gosh.
So we are recording.
What if we get a trailer?
Mm. We are recording this on Thursday, the 13th, and D23 Expo starts tomorrow, so Friday. Yes. So he's going to be there. What do you think that we might get? Do you think trailer? Really?
I don't know. Please, maybe at least some like character names would be nice.
I want Rose.
I mean,
actually true.
Personally, I think that they will probably release a couple of new stills, maybe a new poster, because we've only really had the one poster, and now with other characters that have been kind of announced and we've had our first looks of them, it's more likely that they might do a bigger all-encompassing character poster. And we haven't had like a little mini behind the scenes featurette sort of thing yet. So,
That's true.
They tend to do.
Except that first day of shooting thing we got right after Force Awakens came out.
Yeah, but it was
but
like.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, so.
In a galaxy far, far away. Sorry. I'll stop.
Yeah. I think it's a little too soon to be getting a second full trailer, a little too close to the first one. So I think that we might
That's
be another.
True. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I think we might be like another month and a half, maybe 2 months out from another big trailer. And then we'll get lots of like mini TV spots and smaller trailers as we get closer to release.
They also might wait till. What's the next Marvel movie?
Thor Ragnarok.
Thor.
Right?
Thor, what, Ragonk? What is it called?
Ragnarok.
There we go.
Wow. Well, that was, yeah. Jeez. Unbelievable. No, Thor Ragnarok. Yeah, no, I guess that they might wait
it's
until.
Like, and moving on.
Yeah, they might wait until. Ahead of Thor, but yeah, okay, so Brack has just said that that's not until November, likely that we'll still see something before then, but I wouldn't be shocked if by that point they will be regularly running Star Wars trailers ahead of other films that are within that interest sphere.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, while I think that we might get a Star Wars trailer ahead of Thor, I don't think it's gonna be, like, debuting with Thor. I think past the time where trailers actually debuted with other films. Most of them get released either at conventions or just go straight up online
just
now.
YouTube and stuff.
Or
yeah,
they end up on like talk shows. Which one was it that was just getting all of the exclusives at one point? There was like Good Morning America got a load of stuff, didn't they? And then I can't remember, was it Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel that was getting the, like, they're both white guys with the
Kimmel.
Same name with like brown,
yeah,
brown hair. That it's basically like, which one of them was it again that was getting trailers? I can't remember, but
I
one of them was.
Kimmel.
Yeah, I doubt that we're going to get a trailer, but it might be cool. We might get a couple of really interesting little tidbits from the con, which will be nice. It's always going to be good to be able to have a little bit more information to like speculate on. So I'm excited. D23 is always really interesting anyway. And obviously they are going to be talking about the Disney parks as well. And as we know, Star Wars Land is an upcoming expansion to Disney. So chances are we haven't really had any big official looks at it yet other than concept images. So we might actually start getting our first proper look at what's been going on with all of that, with the expansion, which will be really, really exciting for me anyway.
Yeah, is that so I can like look at it longingly knowing I won't get to go?
You're definitely going to have to go because I'm going to be going and clearly we're going to have to do a big Resistance Radio meetup out there when it opens. I mean, come on.
I like this plan. I like this plan. All right.
Yeah, I've got the best plans.
No. Wow.
Okay. You really do.
Yeah, we're totally going to end up going out there and having a big meetup and basically being like, everyone come join us for Star Wars Adventures and all have fun in the park together. So, yes.
Woohoo!
So moving on, we also had someone from the Lucasfilm Story Group share their, I guess, their unofficial opinion on Star Wars canon. So for anyone unfamiliar with the idea of canon versus non-canon information, the concept of canon means that it is official, it exists in the universe, and it is basically, like, bottom line, that is what happened, there's no changing it, it's set in stone. Whereas, for example, like what happened with the EU and Legends, that is now non-canon, so that has been adjusted and changed and removed, and it is no longer official. So, yeah, Pablo Hidalgo, like, took to Twitter to share some of his opinions on, like, what canon actually is in regards to Star Wars. He made sure that everyone knew, like, this was his opinion and not, like, the opinion of Lucasfilm or of the story group as a whole. So he said, like, on occasion, when asked about something specific, I'll answer, canon doesn't split those hairs. What do I mean by that? See, this tweet thread has been interrupted. It was like, all that's canon is that two people entered the booth and Greedo died. He said of people who obviously bring up, did Han or Greedo shoot first? The other one is like, so why are these guys standing so close as if they can't get enough of each other? Well, because they had to fit into the movie frame. In my mind, there's no such thing as their canonical distance from one another. The only fact is that these guys were there and talked. So, basically, he just gave some insight into why are people all standing close together? Why are shots framed the way that they are? It's not some big kind of, like, conspiracy sort of thing. It's mostly just that the shots needed to be framed like that in order to get all the characters in that they needed to, and so on and so forth. Oh, here we go. I've managed to get the whole thread to load in order now. Thanks for that, Twitter. yeah. There we go. So canon doesn't split those hairs. What do I mean by that? It means it's a detail that isn't catalogued. It's an increment beneath notice. And stuff like that typically means artifacts of the medium. So I don't see there being such a thing as canon dialogue because a comic, novel, cartoon, live-action version of an event will differ. It's my way of dodging the who shot first horse carcass. All that's canon is that two people entered that booth and Greedo died. Reports vary. Here we go. Here's an example of a film artifact. Look how much room is in the Death Star overbridge. This place is huge. He posts a screenshot. So why are these guys standing so close as if they can't get enough of each other because they had to fit into the movie frame? So, yeah, it's like, in my mind, there's no such thing as their canonical distance from one another. The only fact is that these guys were there and talked. If a comics adaptation wanted to open up this frame and have them stand at normal human distances from each other, go for it. So, yeah, there we go. What do you think about that? Particularly like the idea of the Han and Greedo debate, which is still something that kind of rages on within Star Wars canon and in fan opinion. Like the idea that the only thing that he really sees as canon is two people entered the booth and Greedo died. It doesn't really matter who actually shot first.
I think that alone will upset fans more than arguing about who shot first.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they'd probably argue that it's, like, it's defining of the character, right? Which is why George Lucas changed it in the second one, anyway.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, for me, it makes a lot of sense, because obviously we do get a lot of things, like, we'll get a novelization of the film, where some things will vary. We'll also get comic adaptations of the films, or like graphic novels or picture books and stuff like that. And again, they all technically exist in canon because they are being released by Disney and Lucasfilm in conjunction with those movies as big marketing pushes, but they are also variations of the same material. Technically, all canon, but they all tell the story in a slightly different way based on its visual medium. So for me, this makes a lot of sense. The idea that depending on how you're telling the story will depend on how you depict it. Obviously, film has certain limitations, as does animation and comics and novels itself. Like, you're always going to adjust and adapt based on how you're telling the story. So this actually makes a lot of sense for me. I know a lot of people may not necessarily agree with it, but for me, I think it's actually a fairly diplomatic answer, because some core facts will always remain the same. It's just the manner in which the story is told. Same way as if you're telling a story to someone else and then they go on to tell it to someone, the core facts will always remain the same, but maybe some embellishment will occur or some minor details will change. So I kind of like the idea that it's all canon from a certain point of view.
But me too.
Bad joke.
Yeah.
I laughed.
It's okay. You don't need to laugh at my terrible jokes.
Well, it's fine.
Yeah. Another little thing that we got this week was a fan-made Lego Star Wars movie of Jedi Outcast, which honestly does look like someone from Disney actually made this. The animation on it is absolutely incredible. Did you guys get a chance to watch this at all?
Yeah, I did.
I did.
I was not aware it was fan-made until after I watched it. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was solid. I didn't think... I remember watching it and thinking, like, this isn't quite as strong as all of Lego's other property, but then I realized it was fan-made, and I was like, oh, okay, so this is, you know, this is quite good.
Yeah. So the really cool thing about this is that the little animation, which is available on YouTube to watch, is based on the video game Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast. And all of like the minifigs used in the little animation are utilized from like the Yoda Chronicles and Freemaker Adventures, and basically they've just taken stuff from like all over the place in order to be able to repurpose them and use them and animate them, which is kind of cool. But the other thing is that it's all taken from the game's original sound files, so it's the voice work that was used in the game, and yeah, it basically follows like the cutscenes and the actual story, so it's retold in Lego form. So for people who played the game, which of its era was probably one of the better Star Wars games out there, it's going to be incredibly exciting for anyone who played the game. Did either of you play Jedi Outcast at all?
I didn't,
No.
no.
No? So
Yeah.
as people who were experiencing it for the first time, what did you think of it?
Caitlin,
Ben,
go
you go
first.
first. Well, as I was talking to Donnie about it, my initial reaction, because I also wasn't like I watched it, but I hadn't read up on it, so I wasn't aware that it was like word for word from the video game back whenever it did come out. So obviously you can tell they put a lot of work in and it looks really good, but I kind of took issue with the characterization, which goes back to the creators of the video game, not the person who made this video. And I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah, I was kind of in a similar boat. Like, I think you can like respect the amount of work that went into this, especially as a fan-made video. But yeah, I'm on your side with what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I played the game, so I think the thing to remember with this is that it's very much a product of its time in respect to the story and also the characterizations and the characters themselves, because I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, this came out in like 2002, something like that. So it's fairly still ingrained within heavy tropes of that time when it comes to video games. You know, the idea of like the female character being very much a damsel. It very rarely moves outside of that kind of ideal and idea, as a lot of games of that time did, and it's only in very recent history that we're starting to see a lot of that breaking away from that mold. So again, in terms of the actual content of it and the voice acting and all of that, like again, it's all taken from the video game. That's very much a product of its time in respect to like everything that this guy did with animating it. Like the animation is incredible for someone who has just done this on their own, kind of had a go adapting it and putting this together as like a passion project. I can't fault it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No,
no.
true.
Yeah, no. That I was amazed at. It was just the content, which, like I said, is not the person who made this.
Yeah, and I would like to
Spot.
say that we don't have these issues within Star Wars anymore, where female characters are minimized or kind of aren't upheld to the same idea of roles that their male counterparts may or may not get, or even the agency that they may or may not get. But I would be lying, because as we learned
Oh, I knew you
today,
were going to make that transition. I was like,
yes,
yeah, go
I was like,
Donya.
Hasbro. As we learned today, Hasbro have made a statement about why there is still no Rey in Star Wars Monopoly. And, I'm actually just gonna read this Hasbro statement because the Associated
Has
Press
been.
basically realized it and reached out and asked them, like, why is this not available in the United States? So Hasbro said to the Associated Press, in early 2016, Hasbro updated the 2015 Star Wars Monopoly game to add a Rey token. This product was sold to retailers in several markets around the world, but is not available for sale in the US due to insufficient interest. Retailers had ample inventory, so they did not choose to sell the new version. Yeah. To that, I would like to say, well, I guess Hasbro, I have insufficient interest in Star Wars Monopoly in general now, so thanks for that. I can't believe this. I can't believe that they have not been able to look past the fact that perhaps the reason that the current version of Star Wars Monopoly hasn't been selling as well as they might have anticipated within the United States is because of the whole media hype that blew up around it when Rey was not included. Therefore, people haven't bothered buying it. Therefore, retailers still have the inventory in stock left around of the old version of the game. I don't know. How about they got the retailers to send that one back and maybe replaced it with the newer versions? Could that be a thing that they might have been able to do? Maybe to get sales? Then put out a big marketing push to be like, hey, editions of Star Wars Monopoly, including Rey, the main character of the film that this piece of Monopoly was released to promote, are now in stores in the United States. Go out, go forth and buy Monopoly and enjoy playing as Rey. Like, if they wanted to, they could swing this in their favor. They could have a very positive marketing push. Now, they're taking another huge hit again because they are basically trying to shift the blame onto the retailers being like, hey, they don't want to sell it. And it's like, well, I mean, on the retailers' part, I don't blame them for not wanting to buy more stock. Because if it's not currently selling, why would they buy more versions of it in order to sell? Like, that doesn't, on a retailer's side, like, that makes no sense at all. What they should be doing is offering them incentive to switch it out with the updated version.
Well, that and the fact that this is a game that promoted tokens such as an iron and a thimble as tokens, and have also had a massive campaign on people voting on what to replace it with.
Yeah. Yes.
So I don't buy this whatsoever. Instead of Hasbro, it should be called Has-Been.
Oh, nicely done. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I will say, though, kudos to the international markets, like the UK and stuff like that, that Monopoly with Rey is available. So, though apparently, actually reading a little bit further, someone has ordered a version of Star Wars Monopoly from Amazon UK, which said that it did come with the Rey token included and received it without the Rey token.
Ooh.
So, yeah, again, it's kind of like, really? Come on. It's a little bit ridiculous. And the thing is that there was no noise or commotion being like, hey, we've now released the version with the Rey token. Considering the huge backlash of the whole Where's Rey movement that happened around the merchandising, you would think that they would want to, I don't know, show that they've taken steps forward. Perhaps.
Was the Where's Rey stuff around the action figure specifically, or was it just the retailing?
It was everything.
It was? Okay. Because I thought originally it was like, because I mean the posters and stuff, the point before the release of the movie was they didn't want people to know Rey was the Jedi.
Yeah. Which again,
but then afterwards, I'm saying like on release day, like it would make sense that they'd be like, oh, by the way, here are all the Rey action figures. Like,
yeah, but I don't buy that. People, I don't buy that at all. I didn't buy that at the time, and I don't buy that later, that the reason that they didn't have as much Rey merchandise was because they didn't want to reveal her as the Jedi. That's a load of crap. I'm sorry. Because up until about 3/4 of the way through the film, she doesn't get a lightsaber. She has a blaster, she has her staff, she has a lot of other things at her disposal, so they could have done a huge push for putting out a load more merchandise, including all of that stuff. And then, after the film had released, do the iterations with the lightsaber. Yeah, I don't buy it at all. Like, their excuses. Their excuses are ridiculous, and they're to try and shift blame. But yeah, so the whole Where's Rey campaign was all about the fact that comparatively, there was no merchandise for her in respect to merchandise that was available, for example, Kylo Ren, Poe, and also Finn. And, yeah. Considering...
I would like to actually come to the defense of LEGO in this situation, because there were more LEGO sets released during Force Awakens that included Rey than any other character.
Yeah.
So, there are, applause to LEGO.
There are certain companies that made equal amounts of merchandise for Rey as they did other things. LEGO is one of them, and in fact made more Rey minifigs in their sets than any others. And also Funko. Funko made...
Oh, that's right.
Funko made a load of Rey figures. They also made a load of Finn. They made a load of Poe. They made not so many of Kylo Ren, but a few. Mostly because Kylo Ren stuff doesn't really sell as well as I guess they thought it was going to. But the main trio of Rey, Finn, and Poe have loads and loads of Funko Pops. But, like, they basically, in respect to those two companies, they buy the rights for making licensed merchandise, and then they are in charge pretty much of pushing stuff out. Funko will make as many things as they want to. They know that that stuff's going to sell. But when it comes to, like, other figures and other merchandise, yeah, Rey was significantly lacking in all other arenas. So, yeah, this is just another, especially with the next Force Friday coming up at the end of this year, like, this just, it doesn't sit right, especially when we know that also we're going to be getting other female characters coming in with, like, Rose. So if this is how they're treating Rey, who is the lead character, what the hell are they going to do for Rose, like, who is arguably a supporting character?
Well, this is speculation, but technically Rey might even be the title character in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it just doesn't bode well moving forward, the fact that Hasbro are kind of still set in their ways.
No, you said it wrong. It's has
been. As has been, have been, still kind of set in their ways. But yeah, so that happened. That kind of dropped. So thanks for that.
I'm actually tempted to go to, like, a Toys R Us or something and be like, can I have Monopoly, like, with Rey? And then I'll make them find me one.
Who knows? I don't actually know if that would work, because they'd still have to order it directly from
That's true.
From the manufacturer, right? Well, so
I have, like, four Lego Rays, so I'm actually content. But, you know, we're fine.
Yeah. But moving on to some positive female-led content within the Star Wars universe. Forces of Destiny has continued on. Episodes 4 through 8 have now been released. They are all excellent. I'm finding just the entire thing absolutely delightful. Mikey has posted all of the YouTube videos up on resistanceradio.net, so if you have not had the chance to check them out and you don't know where to find them or what to search for or whatever, just jump onto our website. All of them are posted on there, and you can watch them all, be in reverse order, but they're all there. Episode 8 is the last one I think that we're getting for a little while. I think it's until October. So there will be further Forces of Destiny episodes released in October time. But for now, we can continue to enjoy these ones. And yeah, I absolutely love them. I love the animation style. I love the voice acting. I love the little mini stories that we got. They're just a lot of fun. They're so much fun. Well, and I think
they're hilarious.
Hmm?
Sorry, go ahead, Ben.
I was just saying, they're hilarious. I was not ready for how funny they would be.
Yeah, they're great.
And also, like, you have to know that it's, like, marketed to kids. So, like, I'm thinking, like, wow, that was cheesy. But I'm like, oh, but this is, like, not, like, for I don't think it's marketed to people my age. So, it's like, oh, okay, I need to take this for what it is, which is for much younger people. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Specifically, the ones where the voice acting is by like not the actress who played whoever it was, is really impressive.
Oh, you mean the voice actress that is doing Leia's voice?
Yeah, that one specific. I thought were all the other ones the original?
Yeah. I don't think Natalie Portman did.
No, Natalie Portman didn't, but I know that all the rest of them were. So, okay.
So then it was those two. But I was sold. I thought. I mean, like I could tell it wasn't actually them, but like it was a really close, in like interpretation of the character, which I thought was cool.
The voice acting was all super on point.
And speaking of female leads, all of them have been about the female Star Wars characters.
Yes. I will admit that Bounty of Trouble, which I had actually missed that one before we started recording and then had to go and watch it really, really quickly. So anyone who had jumped into the Discord recording studio prior to us starting recording actually got to listen to me watching that one. And I was squeaking and giggling in delight because it was fantastic. I was actually not expecting Sabine to jump up in that one, and just Sabine and Leia interacting and Sabine kind of just being there, like, not rescuing her, but basically going on like it's like a faked kidnapping. For Sabine to be able to get a disc to kind of take back as intelligence and so on, but they needed to frame it in a way that it looks like they've just taken the information and Leia's had nothing to do with it. She's just an innocent bystander, etc., etc. It just, that whole one was absolutely delightful. I think I just really, really loved that one a lot. But all of them were great. We had one called The Padawan Path, which had Ahsoka, which, again, I'm watching it.
That one cracked me up with Yoda's patience.
Yeah, Yoda was like, endlessly patient in that one, while amazing. Anakin's basically, like, practically, like, 2 seconds away from, like, pacing around being like, my Padawan is embarrassing me.
See, what Where I was laughing she? At was Anakin's hair.
Hmm?
What I was laughing at was at Anakin's hair.
Yeah. Watching the Padawan path, though, like, desperately makes me miss Ahsoka.
Yes. Like, yes, so much.
So much. I want her back, guys, so badly. And this just kind of reinforced that so much, because just seeing her in action again and hearing her voice and just her being...
Well, and when she pulled her lightsabers out, because she holds them differently too.
Perfect.
I had feels.
Yeah, I had feelings as well about that. And I desperately, desperately miss her. And I hope with the final season of Rebels coming up that we have not seen the last of her, because I really... really, really need her back. I guess a couple of the other ones, we had another Leia-based one, which was called The Beasts of Echo Base, where...
I love this one.
Yeah, I like this one as well. Do you want to... How about I let someone else describe one? Go on then, Ben. This one, you take it away.
Oh my gosh, okay. So, well, first thing I like about this one is that the characters they put in it with Leia are non-English speaking. So, it's Leia and R2-D2 going to find Chewie, who's supposed to be, what, like, essentially carving out new space and Echo Base for people or something like that. And he stumbled upon a Wampa cave. And is just like, was it? He's like
a teddy
trying to
bear.
What?
He's a teddy bear.
Yeah, it's like a teddy bear. And so like, I can't remember exactly because I watched it like yesterday. Was it Chewie like trying to shush Leia to be like, don't wake him up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 3PO comes across the comm and wakes
up.
Like, oh, Princess Leia, Master Luke has been, and then she's basically like shutting it off, and doesn't work. Doesn't work. Spoiler.
No, I really like that. Especially, I like the choice of having it be, like, Chewie and R2-D2 with her, because, like, there's a lot of room for, especially when they don't use words in English, there's a lot of, like, slapstick and, like, silent movie kind of animation. especially on Chewie's part. So I thought that was a good contrast to Leia's character in that. But like, I'm also surprised at all of these, how much they can accomplish in like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just from like a filmmaking perspective, I guess, just like, oh, they can tell the story really quickly as like an interlude thing. But also just like, we were talking about this before the show started, like in real life, if we could resolve these problems in 2 minutes, that would be great.
Yeah.
I also like how the title is Beasts of Echo Base, not one, but multiple.
I mean, is one technically referring to Chewie?
I don't know. Because there's only one Wampa, yeah. So...
The other one that I really liked was the Imposter Inside one, which is the one that involves Padme.
Yeah, that one too.
But the thing that really, really made me so happy about this is that we got to experience Ahsoka and Padme's friendship, and I just, yeah. Female friendships are the best, guys. Just saying. There should be more of them always. But no, it was great, and again, makes me miss Ahsoka. So yeah,
bring her back. I love the comment at the end where she's just like, "You remind me a lot of Anakin."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Oh boy."
Let's hope not.
Yeah, right. I was like, okay, and she could be like, "Well, I'm actually okay with sand." But there should have been something there.
Yeah, the last one that we got in this set was one focused on Jyn, where she saves a little a child. I don't know if it was a little girl or little...
Isn't it a child's cat?
It was a Loth cat.
Were they on Lothal?
I'm guessing they were on Lothal, because it was a Loth cat. So unless they've, like, exported it somewhere, which I guess is entirely plausible. It's a pet at the end of the day, and
but
you can take pets around places.
It's a, like, a poor child, right?
Yeah.
The child had nothing else, so I'm like, it's not like they paid for this cat to be imported.
That's true.
So I'm choosing to picture it being on Lothal.
Yeah.
Because then it interconnects things.
Yeah. So it's basically Jyn kind of saving the child and the Loth cat and basically getting them away from the Imperials and so on and so forth. But it was a lot of fun. Because it also, we got to see a little bit of Jyn on her own, away from Saw Gerrera, away from the Rebellion, just what she got up to in her own time, I guess. And her very, very kind heart that I guess we all really know that she has, even if she pretends to be gruff and not actually care. So...
Because she never even shot the stormtrooper. She shot the pipe with the steam.
Yeah. Yes. So. That's all of them. We have to that's wait awesome. For October for more Forces of Destiny. So.
There's one more. Oh no, we did talk about that one. We just talked it. Never mind. I realized we talked about them out of order. That's why.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we jumped it's across all over the place. We didn't really
go
in order.
We watched them in the machete order.
Oh dear. Right, I guess it is time for our spotlight topic, and seeing as the guys wrapped up our Star Wars Rebels series last week with Ezra Bridger, we're moving on to a brand new series of spotlight topics, and where the wheel was spun and landed was... Oh, what was the name of that film with Jyn?
It's the Jyn movie.
We should give some background to people who weren't on the chat beforehand.
Ba-dum-bum. Yes, no. So we are going to be covering Rogue One. So our first character spotlight is going to be on K2SO. So... Yeah, we've talked a lot about some of the other droids in our spotlight topic. Usually we talk about them all together a lot of the time so that we have, like, comparisons to make between all the different droids. But this is probably going to be one of the first times other than Chopper that we're really kind of doing a droid on their own. So this is going to be quite interesting because...
K2SO is... more than qualified to be conversed on his own.
Yeah.
About,
seriously.
About on his own, whatever.
Yeah. So, I guess let's start with giving like a little sort of rundown of who K2 is. So, K2, which is the abbreviated form of how he's referred to within Rogue One, is a KX security droid, basically created for use in the Galactic Empire's armed forces. So, obviously, when we encounter him in Rogue One, he is actually on the side of the Rebellion under the, I guess, under the Order of Cassian. So we see the two of them together, mostly. So at some point, K2 encountered Cassian. Cassian reprogrammed K2 so that he become part of the Rebel Alliance, which becomes kind of useful when you're infiltrating different Empire bases in order to be able to be stealthy and undercover and so on, the way that Cassian has to be as someone who is essentially a spy. So yeah, he participated in all of the major battles throughout Rogue One, and in fact was probably, for me, spoiler alert, the most emotional death in Rogue One.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes, but also Chirrut.
Yeah. For me, like, K2 was the one where I cried first.
Okay.
Well, isn't he the first one?
He is the first one to go.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
I got very, very emotional about that. Because, technically speaking, I guess K2 is our, I guess our levity, our sort of, I guess, comedic kind of presence throughout the film. But at the same time, there was a lot more to him than just that, because even though his humor was quite dark and kind of lifted up the film a little bit at parts where it got really kind of very serious and very like dark just in general in terms of the tone, kind of lifted it slightly. But at the same time, there was so much more to him than just that, because his humor was great and on point, and so many one-liners that were just fantastic from him.
Yeah.
But there was a lot with his interactions with other characters, and even, just to a point, his steadfast loyalty to the Rebel Alliance, and Cassian specifically, that was just something that was quite beautiful. And I guess, to an extent, you could probably put a lot of that down to the fact that Cassian had programmed him that way. But also, he is initially suspicious of Jyn and doesn't like her, and kind of just in general is like, no, I don't want her on this. This is all going to end really badly. We're going to regret this so much. But he learns and becomes able to, I guess, transfer some of that loyalty to her as well, and just protects her as much as he ends up protecting Cassian. So there is an extent of, like, actual personality and learning that is prescribed to K2 that means that, you know, it isn't necessarily all in his programming, because I doubt that Cassian actually went and reprogrammed him in order to accept Jyn into their ranks, or even like the way that he does with protecting the rest of the crew that they have, or the rest of their little band that they take to go on their little missions, like Chirrut, like Baze. And yeah, what do you think?
Caitlin, go first.
No, I went first last time. It's your turn.
Oh, seriously? Oh, I thought I went first last time. Okay. Gosh, I like what you had to say about his kind of loyalty. I also enjoy the part of his character that, like, I don't think he really trusted Jyn until she showed him trust, or, like, at least kind of respected him, which is Which is nice. Or that, or she respected Cassian, you know? Like, he was very much like, no, well, you can't have this gun. Or, like, she gives him the gun, right? And then...
Till she proves trustworthy herself. Yeah, like, right. she acts in a way that he realizes she's not about to shoot them in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think one of the reasons he's so lovable is because he's an English-speaking droid who acts like R2-D2. So we finally get, like, sarcasm, but, like, verbal sarcasm, you know? Whereas, like, if R2-D2 could speak, I feel like he would be somewhere in this ballpark.
Yeah.
R2-D2 is one of those people who's like, I'm just fed up with you guys. I'm going to do it myself. You know, like, you see that in Cloud City. You see that on the sail barge, you know? So having K2SO is kind of refreshing.
I think K2 kind of takes aspects of different characteristics from the different droids that we've been introduced to so far, mm-hmm. with, I think, the exception of 3PO. I feel like, well, with...
Other than the fact that he can speak.
Yeah, but I feel like, for me, K2 kind of has this amalgamation of aspects of, like, R2 especially, with respect to the sarcasm, which in R2 is just inferred from, you know, his movement, the beeps and bleeps and so on, but obviously K2 can verbalize that. But there's also a little bit of, like, I feel like Chopper in there as well, and AP5. Like, there's a little bit of, like,
yeah,
there's, like, a, like, thread.
It's sort of like an R2-D2 C-3PO with, like, Chopper sprinkles and, like, I don't know. Like, he kind of reminds me, like, distantly of a battle droid, too.
But here's the thing, not to jump fandoms or anything, but he also reminds me a little bit of Marvin from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Not as depressed, but still, like, very fact-based.
That sort of
deadpan and, like,
kind of humor, where it's played completely straight, completely serious, but has that slight sarcastic, dark humor inflection. Like, that is just where he kind of lands. But, yeah, I think when it comes to, like, some of the other droids, like, BB-8 has that kind of... because he's quite cute. Round and really, like...
quite round.
Quite round, quite adorable, quite roly... kind of, like, all over the place. He has this more...
Wow,
like, BB-8
you are picking,
has
like, the right words to describe BB-8.
Yeah. So, for me, BB-8 kind of comes across more innocent. Like, wide-eyed innocence,
oh, totally.
Kind of.
BB-8's, like, the little kid of all the droids.
Yeah.
He's the puppy.
Yes.
The puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the puppy. The I love you, but I don't do anything right kind of puppy.
Yeah.
like... I got us in trouble now, run away and follow me.
Yeah. Yeah, so when it comes to, like, comparing K2 to some of the other droids, I feel like BB-8 is probably the one that he's furthest away from in terms of, like,
yeah,
similar traits and stuff. K2 has things significantly more under control, I think. And keeps his head a lot better than someone like 3PO as well.
Well, in when you were going through the history of K2, it actually reminded me a lot about the history of Chopper.
Yeah.
Because they were originally Imperial-based droids that were reprogrammed and became quite loyal to, like, their human, I guess,
companion?
Partners.
I guess.
Yeah.
I feel really weird calling them their master, because,
well, that's why I said partner.
Yeah, it's because we know that 3PO, like, considers whoever, I guess, owns them or is in possession of them at any one time, like, his master. We hear it with, like, Master Luke and so on and so forth, but I feel like that's a very 3PO thing.
I think it's his programming, because he's a translator,
yeah.
Right? So he's being diplomatic.
Yeah. So he's very much, I guess, someone who is, yeah, not in servitude, but is basically in a role that kind of is it's like a job, I guess. And the master title is for someone like it would be he's like kind of we would butler. Consider like a supervisor or our boss or whoever.
Yeah. Well, even like obviously different century, instead of like somebody would be a mister, but if they were young they would be a master. So I know that it's probably not what C-3PO means when he calls him Master Luke, but it almost comes off that way instead of like, because Luke's quite young, he's 19, so he's Master Luke. And then when he, like, nowadays, like, maybe when he sees him in The Last Jedi, he'll call him Mr. Luke. I don't know.
Well, oh my god, that would be Luke so
In reference to the fact that he's a Jedi Master, not that he's 19.
All that.
Oh.
That'd be confusing.
It would be oh my god. Now I'm really curious for 3PO and Luke to kind of come face to face again and see how 3PO refers to him. Because that would... Yeah, that would be really, really interesting to see how that...
Because he's not his actual, like, master, quote-unquote, anymore, right?
Yeah. Because he's...
more Leia's.
Yeah. Well, he calls Leia General. So, by her actual currently assumed title.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Interesting. But yeah, so there's a lot of similarities for K2 to, like, Chopper, like you said, in the background and how they came to be and what's going on. But I feel like, unlike some of the others, like 3PO, who, I guess does have personality, but is not necessarily level-headed, is kind of prone to panicking and kind of going all over the place. K2 is very level-headed and in control of situations and very much is able to act and do things independently, though he is still loyal to both the cause of the Rebel Alliance and also to Cassian as well.
Sorry to interrupt.
Go.
Just, like, because K2, like, as you said, like, he makes more, like, for somebody who does the calculations of the probabilities of things going wrong and calculating such, like, you'd think he would be the one to panic because he knows things aren't going to work out. They're going to go to hell. But he still keeps, literally, his head on his shoulders and manages to save them, which in the end makes them be able to save the day. Yeah, if not themselves.
I think that's him, like, also, like, absorbing the attitudes of the people around him. Like, for example, he was the one in Rogue One to almost say, I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah.
And it was because Cassian and Jyn were both like, we're doing this. He's like, okay, we're doing this. Whereas I think C-3PO, if you were to be like, you know, here are the odds, I have a bad feeling about this, I don't want to do this. Like, the whole time, he'd be like, I don't want to be here. So that's, I think, where the difference is between the two. But maybe the whole time in the back of K2SO's head, he was like, yeah, I don't want to be here, but I'm not going to say that.
Yeah. So his relationship with Cassian, I think, is something that's also quite interesting. Because obviously we get a lot of relationships between the droids and, I guess, their human partners and counterparts. So we see R2 with Luke quite a lot. We see BB-8 with Poe and Finn and Rey. We see Chopper with pretty much everyone in the Ghost crew, and AP-5 also interacts with quite a few people within Star Wars Rebels as well. But I guess...
I would like to say that C-3PO and Chewie have a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just me, maybe.
Yeah, there's also
Is that from Chewie carrying him around on his back?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but when it comes to K2 and Cassian... I guess, yeah, the closest I feel the relationship kind of compares to is maybe R2 and Luke. You were saying, it's almost the verbalized version of that quick wit and sarcasm. But though K2 is, like, desperately loyal to Cassian and would seemingly do anything to kind of keep him safe, there is still this kind of back and forth, like, bickering sort of banter between the two of them, that is actually really quite enjoyable.
They're kind of like a married couple.
Yes, I wasn't going to go there because I think I've said that multiple times of people within the Star Wars universe before about being a bickering married couple. but yes, no, absolutely. They do come across a little bit like that. And do you know what? It's the internet. There's probably fanfic of it out there somewhere already. I mean, where's the lie? Come on.
Yeah.
Was there anything in particular, were there any moments between Cassian and K2 over the course of, oh, you know that Jin movie?
Sorry, I'm laughing, but the scene I'm going to pick out, are some of them are funny and some are not. One, when we first meet him after he's cut Jin off from her running away.
Yeah.
Yes. We're trying to save you, because that's when we first meet him. But also when he cuts Jin and Cassian off so that they can continue doing, knowing that this is not going to end well for him, and then Cassian just realizes what K2 just did.
Yeah,
and it breaks my heart.
Yeah, my favorite was when K2 has to, like, pretend to be bad, and he, like, slaps Cassian. He's like, and there's a fresh one if you, what, mouth off again?
Yes. Is that what he says? The look
that part kills me every time.
The look of almost betrayal on Cassian's face in that moment of, what the hell did you just do to me? Is, priceless. Yeah. And there are so many moments,
just,
in,
like,
Rogue One.
The hesitation in K2's voice, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this.
And that just speaks to, like, Danya, you mentioned Cassian's reaction in the movie, so that just speaks to Diego Luna's acting capabilities, because obviously K2's not actually there.
Yeah.
Anyways,
was that improvised? Was he looking at Alan Tudyk and being like, what the heck, man?
So Alan Tudyk was like, they do those dots all over, like,
So he was present then.
Yeah, and I think, because you see some of the behind the scenes stuff where he's all, like, kind of, like, suited up and stuff. But I think there was also, like, points where, with a lot of stuff like that, you usually have, like, a stick with a tennis ball on the top of it to kind of indicate where you should be looking and where you should be interacting with, where your eye line should be. Incredibly difficult to be able to do that sort of thing. But Diego Luna is phenomenal. Absolutely love him. I think it's K2's death scene on Scarif is just the bit that destroys me every single time. And it's not the only death that got to me. Like Caitlin mentioned, Chirrut and Baze's eventual death was also one that got me really, really choked up. But K2's was the one that got me first. It, like, almost destroyed me. Just that... that desperation, that hanging on alone to buy Jin and Cassian more and more and more time, and just the bit where he's, like, locking the vault door now, goodbye, and I just floods and floods of tears. It absolutely destroyed me.
I felt like I related to Cassian a lot, because then he's like, K2, like, K2, what are you doing? And I'm like, me too, what are you doing?
And it just, I think that was the moment, because obviously some of us picked up on it earlier, but we know that the Death Star was coming to kind of, like, wipe everything, wipe them all out. But
all of them.
Yeah.
Sorry, necessary.
But I guess that was also the point where it was like, well, even if the Death Star does come and obliterate part of Scarif, like, the domino effect of K2 being the first to fall kind of was the one where I was like, oh, I don't think any of them are gonna make it out alive. like that specifically was like the trigger moment for me, where I was like, oh, well, maybe one or two of them might survive. But I think K2's death was the catalyst for me being like, I don't think any of them are getting off the planet alive.
Actually, though, yeah, I remember going to see the movie, and at the first time when K2 kicked the bucket, I was like, that's one. And I just waited for all the others.
Yeah.
Because if you kill off the comedic relief, everybody's gone.
Yeah, it's maybe the domino effect, right?
Yeah, that's why 3PO and R2-D2 are still alive, because if they died, then everyone would be gone. So.
Oh, that makes me sad!
Right? Exactly, but they're still around, so it's good. It's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. Everything's under control. Everything's fine. Everything is okay, Caitlin. No one's dying. It's okay. is there anything else you guys would like to add about K2?
I need more Alan Tunick in my life.
Yeah, don't we all, though?
We need a K2SO solo movie.
Replace it with the Han Solo one.
Wouldn't it be nice if he showed up in Rebels?
Yeah.
I mean, it would make a lot of sense, particularly if we're getting to the escalation point in season 4, where we're getting closer and closer and closer to the events of A New Hope, and then moving to a new Rebel base. Like, that would make a lot of sense, seeing as we know that Cassian and K2 operate out of it. So it's not something that would be unheard of, that we might see him in Rebels next season. I guess it's a watch this space moment. Anything else, guys? No?
I'm good.
We're all good? Okay. Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter, again, which is our radio podcast, or on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. And remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. As always, I'm Danya.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Ben.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. Someone had to do it.
I was going to say someone had to, right?
Mikey's not here, so we had to.